All right, buddy. Tight schedule, man. This Christmas stuff is tightening everything up schedule-wise.
Yeah.
Do you want to look at my day planner? Should I publish my day planner? Do you think anybody cares?
No.
No. So why don't we knock off this nonsense, do the show.
Right.
Done. Hello and welcome to episode 414 of the Two Hosers Photo Show. My name is Alan in Tubingen, Germany. With me as always is...
Adam, Vancouver.
414, that's hard to say, man.
414.
Yeah, well, not for you, evidently. Maybe you should have handled the intro.
I just did it very easily.
You did, you nailed it.
Yes, and...
Clearly your wheelhouse.
Yeah, 414.
Amazon, if you need a book on speech lessons, get it on Amazon.
Sure.
Click through our site and help us out. We appreciate it.
Okay.
So, Adam, I think you took a little bit of a beating last week from last week's show, man.
Oh, yeah? Is this a social media? I don't really know social media.
People emailed me directly.
Wow.
Yeah.
Saying what?
Saying, hey, Alan, it's Adam's mom here. I got more than one comment on email and Instagram and somewhere else and our website. Basically, more than one person said, wow, that was an interesting show.
But what was, like, interesting in how? In what way?
Apparently... Now, they are saying you. I don't know. I honestly don't know how you took the brunt of this. I feel like I was complicit. I'll be perfectly upfront with you.
Okay.
But a lot of people are pointing their fingers at you and saying, I guess you're kind of a jerk during the listener review section.
Was that just because I ripped on Marion, though, I think?
Maybe. But yeah. There was multiple independent reviews. And I honestly, I'm sticking up for you. I don't think it was all you. I think I was complicit.
I think maybe Marion's parents are listeners.
Oh, maybe.
Yeah, maybe his aunt and uncle listen.
Sure. Anyways. So Adam's pledging he'll be nicer next week.
Sure.
Or next month. On the next month's whatever. I thought it was a good show. I thought the energy was great.
Energy was great.
We laughed a lot. Not a lot of photo talk, but you know, what do you expect from a photo podcast?
Yeah, I will not accept any criticism on the internet. I'm just going to put that out there. I will not accept it.
Right.
I will not internalize
only in
it.
Mail. You have to handwritten mail it to his house. P.O. box.
I will not read it. I will not internalize it. I will not adjust my behavior. Okay. So
the way I would say it, in all honesty, remember, it's the Two Hosers Photo Show, not the Two Hosers Photo Show. We're all about the show. It's not show friends. It's show business. Okay.
That's right. Show money.
Show me the no. Come on. Different. Same movie though. Same. Yeah. Different quote. Same movie. what's going on, Adam? I hear Vancouver's an bisschen kalt.
Is that cold?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I heard it's getting cold there.
-3 this morning.
That is insane.
I mean, for those in Winnipeg listening, that's very warm. This is pretty much springtime in Winnipeg.
I ran in a t-shirt today, Adam. It's +12.
Wow. Yeah.
I don't like it. It's not good. I wanted to go sledding with my son.
On the plus side, it's when it's this cold in Vancouver, it's pretty much clear and beautiful looking. And in the middle of the day, it warms up and you get, you know, nice golden light and nice sunrises and sunsets. So it is very pretty, but it is frigid in the mornings. That's for sure.
Right. And the forest fires don't warm it up a little bit?
No.
No. See, now is when you should have I'm not saying that you should ever have forest fires, but if you have to have them, now would be a better time.
Okay, I'll keep that in mind.
Talk to them. I finally, well, a few days ago now from recording this, finally finished editing that video project I flew to Vancouver for.
Okay.
So I just feel like I'm getting out from under something, like just finally getting caught up on everything else. So it's very exciting. Not exciting news for you, but no. Maybe photographically I can start putting my all into it.
Okay.
Because then the Christmas schedule, it's all kicking into gear.
Excellent.
Like you've probably done like three different events already.
No.
You haven't gone and seen lights and
whatnot? No, I haven't done anything. We do the Nutcracker tomorrow night.
We didn't talk about that at all.
Yeah.
You never gave us the update on the show.
Yeah, so Nutcracker. It's happening.
You're not just going to watch it.
No, Sarah's is part of it. So that's part of my day today is the going downtown Vancouver for the dress rehearsal. So this is at the Queen Elizabeth Theatre with the Royal Winnipeg Ballet. It's a big deal. All their performances are this weekend. So we're going to go as paid guests tomorrow night, myself, my wife, my parents. I think Jack is ditched and he's going to a friend's house for a sleepover. So we're getting
probably
rid of him.
Probably a hot move.
Yeah. So we're going. And then there's other performances that... I think my wife has to chaperone Sarah, but yeah, it'll be all done this weekend. So today is the dress rehearsal and then a couple of shows over the course of the weekend and then all done Nutcracker. So she's been rehearsing for weeks, like on weekends going down to Vancouver. So it all comes to a close this weekend, which is nice. And then we can move on to other Christmas related fun.
How many shows are over the weekend?
I'm not sure, to be honest. I think there's two casts and I think there's five or six shows, whatever it is, she's in a couple. I don't think she's in maximum three. So
are you allowed to bring a camera?
No, you're not.
Really?
Yeah.
If you're the dad. Hey, I'm the dad.
No, there's no cameras. I think for like today where there are costume fittings and whatnot, if you wanted, I think you're allowed to bring a camera for that. I'm not going to because I assume being a male and there being dressing room situations, I probably won't be allowed back there. But I also figure I don't really see the point in that. They also sent out an email saying that they will take a photo of all the junior cast members and that will be sent out to you. So they're doing their part so that, you know, people don't have to be carrying cameras around. But no, we'll see how they do. Yeah, and again, I'm not thinking it's going to be necessarily a Rembrandt. The experience will be for her getting to be on stage with the professional ballerinas, and it'll be quite a cool experience for her. Yeah,
well, that's great.
Yeah, and Queen Elizabeth Theatre, it's going to be probably I don't know how many it holds, 5,000 people.
I don't know. That was my high school graduation was there.
Was that the Queen Elizabeth Theatre?
Yeah, I didn't go. I mean, I stopped in grade 9, but had I continued, I would have gone. It would have been there.
Yeah. So, anyway,
I graduated high school. Everybody, come on.
Yeah, everybody. Now you know it happened.
Yeah, and it was the Queenie Theater. I saw David Copperfield there.
Sweet.
I saw Jay Leno there.
Okay.
Different nights. That's it. That's okay. All the good stories. There's a bunch of other stuff too. I'm sure.
I saw Chris Rock.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, years ago.
I did see Grease there, the live action show. Honestly, this is a true story. You know who played Danny Zuko when I saw Grease at the Queenie Theater?
No.
Adrian Zmed.
I don't know who that is.
He was 141 years old at the time.
Okay.
He was honest to God, he was in his 50s. I'm pretty sure he's in his 50s, and he was playing Danny Zuko, the high school kid.
Nice.
Thanks a lot. Adrian Zmed, I believe he was the best friend of Tom Hanks in Bachelor Party.
Okay.
No, I'm not even joking. I'm 99.9% sure that was Adrian Zmed. Yeah. And now he works at the Bay.
Right.
All right. I was going to mention, we're editing this whole project, whatever. The whole point was I love Adobe Premiere now, by the way. I'm very impressed with it, how it kind of, you can kind of work back and forth with obviously After Effects, but with Photoshop and especially with Adobe Audition. Wow, is it cool? I'm happy. I'm happy Final Cut Pro doesn't exist anymore in the form that I liked. So anyways, that's all. Little tech note. By the way, I invented something yesterday, which I don't know, maybe you saw on, maybe you don't follow me on Instagram. I'm on Instagram.
Can't remember ever being on Instagram.
Yeah, you're there. You're there. I post stuff on your behalf sometimes. I tag you in a lot of questionable material.
Okay, it's been a long time since I've been on any form of social media, but I can't remember the last time I was on Instagram.
I don't mind Instagram so much because you can really, anyways. But I invented a new move. Okay, I'm sure I invented it, but like I'm sure Brennizer invented it 4 years ago. So
okay.
I'm inventing it, something that probably already exists. I took a panoramic picture of my baseball team, my team photo, cut it up into three, a triptych, we call it in the art world, and then I posted it as a multiple post. So as you scroll to the next picture, it's all one picture. Like it's seamless. So it's this cool panoramic effect that as you scroll across, it just creates this giant panorama that you scroll past.
Hmm.
I guarantee I didn't invent it. I didn't think of it on my own. I've never seen it in the wild. So it's a cool little effect. Anyways, reminder, monthly photo challenge is Christmas cards or holiday cards. We went over it last, all the different iterations we talked about last week, back when Evil Adam was the co-host.
That's right.
And so Christmas cards, I've already shot mine. I haven't finished the what have you, the font and whatnot. But I have shot the photo.
I did mine, and I ordered it. I ordered it from, what was that place? Vistaprint.
Vista. I got calendars from there yesterday.
Yeah, so it's Vistaprint again this year because I've been so happy with the quality and whatnot.
They should sponsor us.
And this year, they had embossed cards, so I got embossed ones.
Really?
Yeah.
You know what I'm going to do? Actually, my New Year's resolution, besides continue to be awesome, is I'm going to reach out to Vistaprint and demand that they sponsor our show.
Okay.
Because, first of all, we're clearly awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Second, they are also awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And awesome, it sounds like we should probably team up and be in the Marvel universe.
Yeah, it's kind of like when Macho Man Randy Savage and Hulk Hogan formed the Mega Powers back in the 80s.
That is exactly what my wife said. No. All right. Anyway, hashtag that Two Hosers Monthly Challenge or hashtag Hey Hosers on the Instagram and we will check it out and Adam will promise to be nice about that.
Sure.
Did you shoot anything interesting this week?
I don't think so. I was working on my own little video for the hockey team's Christmas party. So that just involved me assembling stuff that I'd already previously shot, did a little slideshow, took a couple of the video clipped highlights that I had worked on previously and just kind of assembled it all together into one little neat little 9-minute package that the kids can watch at the party this weekend.
Nice. Oh, this is the party at PJ All-Star and Sons.
This is, I think it's at a local high school. So.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You're going to go comb the high schools?
Well, I think it's on a weekend. The high school won't be open.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. That was a little Revenge of the Nerds quote for you.
Yeah. Yeah. We're not combing
the high school. Timely. The little movie from, 83? Was that 83?
That sounds about right. Yeah. Early 80s for sure. Yeah.
Yeah. Different time. I went and shot a friend of mine's son played some soccer, and we went and watched his game. And I just said, yeah, I'm going to bring my camera. Brought the 5D Mark III out and the 70-200 and went and shot some soccer stuff, and soccer's hard to shoot, by the way, especially at this age. He is 13 years old, and it's tough to shoot because not much happens. There's not much action going on, even though they're skilled individually. They don't seem to play the team game. So, anyways, this was the shot. I just posted a shot of couple of guys battling for the pitch.
Okay.
That's all.
Okay.
Just to prove to you, I took my camera outside.
Excellent.
I meant to ask my friend's son is the one in the blue in the foreground, and I have to ask him what's the deal with the 100-pence socks up above the knee. It's freaking me out.
The facial expression is kind of good, though. That's kind
of I got the tongue sticking out. The other kids tough. Look at the kid on the left. It looks like someone's dad.
Yeah, kid's gigantic.
He is gigantic.
So. It's like the Elf movie.
Yeah, yeah. So that was what I shot this week. Let's get into the photo challenge because we're trying to compress the episode the next 2 weeks just due to scheduling.
Okay.
Christmas scheduling. So this week was dragging the shutter. So you want to go first or second? I always give you the option, man.
I'll go first.
All right, we'll talk about mine first then. No, this is your wife. Tell me about this picture because I'm glad you took it.
I was looking for what situation might I use this technique of dragging the shutter? So I don't really think about the terminology very much. So when you said dragging the shutter, I had to remind myself of what that was.
Okay.
I knew it had to do with, you know, basically the shutter and maybe using a longer short shutter speed in order to fill up ambient light. And then I thought, well, when am I using this? And then I looked it up, and it's funny, like when I looked up dragging the shutter as a terminology in Google, the first article that I came across was one by Neil Van Niekerk, which we had as a guest on our show many moons ago. Mm-hmm. And it just kind of, you know, explained it in simple terms. And he was explaining it as, you know, it's a flash term where, you know, you're trying to basically balance the ambient light with the flash exposure light. So
right.
in the example that he used, he had sort of a cityscape in the background. It was kind of like evening light. And he was basically adjusting the shutter speed. And he showed us several examples of, okay, you know, the shutter speed is going to determine the background exposure. And then the flash is going to light your subject. And so I thought, okay, I'm going to wait for just when the light starts to kind of fade. And then I'm going to attempt this technique as he had sort of explained it.
And, okay, so this was taken in the evening.
Yeah, this is like just as the sun's going down, it's starting to get dark. I picked a spot specifically where it was going to be darker. So mm-hmm. behind the fence and behind like some houses where there just isn't a lot of ambient light. And then I just kind of decided on what is my ambient exposure going to be. And so I used a, because it's not dark yet, I used an ISO, a very low ISO, I want to say 125 or 160, something low.
Okay.
And it's because I figured, okay, I'll keep the quality as high as I can, keep the noise down. I used a shutter speed of, I'm going to say something in the realm of 1/30th of a second in order to get the exposure that I wanted. And then I used a single flash and an umbrella to light the subject. And that's it.
Okay. So that's a great example, though. I mean, it's one of those things. If you shot it in the middle of the day, it might have been easier. You would have shot at 1/60th of a second or 1/180th, whatever the max is with the 60. And fairly straightforward. Balance the ambient, bring in a flash. Bob's your uncle.
Mm-hmm.
Why do we say Bob's your uncle? I never understood that.
I'm not sure what that means, yeah.
I don't have an Uncle Bob.
No, neither do I.
Yeah. Thanks, Bob. Anyways, yeah, so all in all, very, very simple shot. You kept pretty much most of the shadow off the fence. Looks good.
Yeah, and I liked the photo, and immediately after I took it, I'm like, oh, that was easy. And Lisa liked the photo as well. And so for those that don't know, that's a photo of my wife. So immediately she posted it as a new profile picture. So I was like, okay, well, if it got used,
she must be winning in your neck of the woods. She must be winning social media.
I don't know how it's kept score, but yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, good for her.
Okay. So let's see your version of dragging the shutter.
All right. I went the different way. I went full effect. I didn't go with the fill it up. I went, you know what? Let's really, really drag this shutter and make something unique. Something you don't normally shoot.
Okay.
So that was this. I said to my daughter, hey, how about you? Who wants to go for a scooter ride?
Mm-hmm. I do.
The answer is you, kiddo. And so we did. So we went sort of later in the evening, not quite dark yet. I kind of wish it was darker, which I'll get to in a sec. But this was sort of probably around 4:30, 4:50, probably 4:15. So it was just kind of dusky. And left. Will you tell me how I did this?
I'm going to say she rolled down the street. You set a very slow shutter speed and you get a bunch of motion blur. You probably used a little bit of a flash, I'm guessing.
Just I used an absolute ton of flash.
Yeah, because she's too well exposed for it just to be a motion blur effect. But I don't know. Mm-hmm. Obviously, there's one camera right. I don't know where the other flashes are. Maybe there's a couple camera right. Maybe one behind her too.
Pretty much. There's one essentially just camera right, almost head on, like a little bit camera, you know, camera right, a little bit ways away. And then there's one out in the street, basically pointing right at her. And then there's a third flash across the street. Also, all flashes are camera right, but the third one across the street, letting her from behind a little bit.
Yeah.
All of them on full power, because in order to get this shutter speed, which is, I believe this was like a second and a half shutter speed.
Okay.
And I'm panning with her. So as she's coming along on the with the full frame camera, 50 mil lens, I'm panning with her. Okay?
Yeah, which is what gives you all the weird kind of blurred, crazy right. background. Yeah.
Right. So that kind of gives a little streaks in there. And then, so what I'm doing is, you know, like I'm basically underexposing that. So I tried panning without a flash, underexpose it a little bit, and then I want to basically, you know, bang the flash right when she gets to a certain spot.
Right. Well, you need the full power, otherwise it might freeze her too much.
Well, that's what I would have liked it to be darker, because I would actually kind of wanted to freeze her, because she would have been blurred a little bit and then frozen, except for I needed full power, because at this hour, in order to get a shutter speed of 1.5 seconds at ISO 100, I had to shoot this at around F16, which is awfully stopped down.
Right.
Which means you got to blast, like your F-stop.
Ton of flash.
Yeah, you need. So I have all three flashes were on full power and on a remote, on a radio trigger. Now, here's the kicker. So as I'm panning along, I open the shutter and I want to basically have the flash pop at the very end, a rear shutter sink, second mm-hmm. shutter, second curtain sink.
Curtain, yeah.
Well, my particular triggers do not do that natively. Okay. And so I have to do it manually. So that means in my left hand, I'm holding the trigger with the little button that's on it, the trigger button. And with my right hand, I'm panning with her with the camera, and right when I think she's at the right spot, boom, I actually manually pop the flash.
Okay.
And that's how this ends up happening. It lights her up. We still get all that blur.
Well, you know what? It was totally worth it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep. And like I said, I've already shot my Christmas card, so here we are. Merry Christmas, everybody. Blurry. No, kind of a cool effect. I don't know if this is the best use of it. And the one issue I have is that because it's such full power on the flash, if it was darker, what you would end up happening, you would be able to use the flash at like 1/32nd power. And thus, let me back up a step. If it was much darker, I could achieve a 1.5 second shutter speed with, like, say, an F4. Which would allow me to really dial back the flash power, which is also the flash time, which would essentially just pow. It would just freeze her right in that one spot instead of having the little bit of blur on either side, which would look kind of cool because the whole background would be blurry, except maybe I would have to reposition the light so as not to light the house in behind her. Because that ends up stopping the house too. And I kind of didn't want to do that. So in the future, I would leave the one head-on flash, I would kind of move around to the front. Or maybe camera left and lighter from behind, like a three flash setup. Something that's I'm going to explore more in a different setting.
Okay.
All right. So the topic this week is dragging the flash, which we have talked about in the past, but I think I want to do a little deeper dive on this.
You mean dragging the shutter, right?
What did I say?
Dragging the flash. That just gets confusing.
Well, the problem is I wrote down dragging the flash, and I meant to say dragging the shutter.
Okay. Well, I just don't want people to just get their flashes out and start dragging it around.
No. I also wish I had written that down properly, because now I wouldn't sound like such an imbecile. Man, I wish I knew how to edit this, right?
Yeah.
All right. So here's the topic. Here, the topic is dragging the shutter, not the flash, and when to do it. So I'm glad that you shot the way you did, because I was going completely the opposite direction and then going to explain how you would really want to use it. And without talking to you about it, you went ahead and did that. And I actually shot a couple of examples, and now I do not have to use them because of your challenge photo.
Amazing. Thank Neil van Niekerk.
Yeah, thank him. So you know, you kind of gave a brief explanation. But first off, like, where would you want to use this besides out in the backyard, which you probably wouldn't do, like you did yours for the challenge. But there are times when this comes up where you want to do this. Where would that happen? For example, I have one very specific holiday themed example where this would be a big thing.
Okay. I'm going to say out in front of, like, you know, the Christmas lights when you're outside and yes, there's just this huge display of Christmas lights.
Right. Now, if you're just to put it on auto and fire away in the flash, your subject's going to look great and everything's going to fall off into blackness and you're going to lose all those lights in behind you. You don't want that.
Mm-hmm.
So the two examples I came up with was Christmas lights, like Van Dusen Gardens, for example. Or even at parties, if you're going to someone's house party or something like that and you want to snap some photos, this is going to come in. It's a very, very handy technique.
Okay, I have another example.
Okay.
Well, I was just going to think, you know, for those evening photos where you see, like, people at the beach, or, you know, the skyline photo was a good example that that I was looking at when I was learning about exactly what this was. Yeah, where you just, it's impossible to light that background.
That's the thing. So you have a foreground, middle ground, background, but your flash is not going to light up that background. And if it is, if your flash lights up the foreground, the background's going to fall off to darkness. If it is going to light up the background, it's probably going to overexpose your foreground. So you have to now separate this. So let's say you want to snap photos at a party, for example, and you got your bounce flash set up. Maybe you got a lens that'll go to f4, and away you go, right? But mm-hmm. It's a little bit dark in there, and this is the situation where you find that your flash is doing all the work, okay? And that's where it ends up. That's where you end up. Even though you're bouncing it, hoping to get a nice exposure, you're not going to light up that background, but you want that background. You don't just want people against this artificial black thing. So here's what we do. We're going to treat this, we're going to treat every photo you take is going to be treated as two separate exposures. One of them, the background. That's where you come in. The ambient.
Ambient, or what's controlled by the shutter.
Well, that is the ambient.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm just naming it the shutter.
Okay. So we're going to drag the ambient.
Sure.
So two exposures. We have the ambient exposure. And we have the flash. Now, we want to balance those, but we're going to deal with the ambient first, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So we all know, because we've all listened to the show many times and read on Strobist, et cetera, we know that adjusting the aperture is going to affect both the ambient light and the flash. So let's just set the aperture, the f-stop, and leave it, okay?
Okay.
So say f4, for example.
Sure.
We're going to full manual mode. We're not going to mess around. So full manual, F4, ISO, I don't know, call it 640 for the sake of this. Because you're pro. That's the pros use the in-between ISOs and act like they know something that you don't.
Okay.
Okay? So now you're shooting with say, a 50mm lens, and you decide, well, obviously, I know the inverse rule. I'm going to shoot at 1/50th of a second to keep my photos sharp, man. Now you have a dark background. That's when you add that 1/50th of a second, it doesn't expose the background enough. And the flash will be fine. The flash will take care of itself. Your background sucks. Let's adjust the shutter speed. Okay? The other two variables will affect the flash as well. You don't want that.
Mm-hmm.
Specifically, you have a dark photo. We're going to slow the shutter down to let more light in. So instead of 1/50th of a second, you're going to be shooting at, say, I don't know, 1 20th, maybe? Is that actually one that happens? 120th? I don't know.
I think so.
115th, 120th. So call it 120th. I actually don't know.
Neither do I.
So now you're shooting at 120th. Well, obviously, like you would never shoot like that. But now you're going to find out that lets a little bit of light in the background. Not on your subject so much, but in the background. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
This is going to make this is going to make it hard to hold the camera still. It'd be tough to avoid camera shake. Oh, well, we'll deal with that in the AM. Let's move on. Okay? So now you want to expose the background to be underexposed about 2/3 of a stop. This is, just, I mean, it could be more, could be less. I'm not sure, but generally in your situation, you're going to find that about 2/3 of a stop under is likely going to give you enough detail to fill up the scene, but keep your subject dark enough. Because we want to keep our subject in the dark, and then the second exposure is the flash part. So two exposures in one, ambient first, lighting your subject with the bounce flash. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
We're at a party, man. We're going to use ETTL. We're going to dial it in to like the flash exposure compensation as needed, plus or minus, probably minus, usually minus. And even though you've dragged the shutter pretty far down, if you hold the shot as still as you can, the flash pulse will stop the action on your subject, and any motion blur in the background will be minimized and possibly not noticed, because it'll be maybe the bokeh will be there anyways. And so even if there's a little bit of motion blur, it's not going to happen on your subject, because your subject is being stopped by a very, very quick flash pulse. Yay?
Mm-hmm. No, it works. It works exactly like that.
So what we're doing, okay, what we're going to do is we're going to take our flash picture, our flash photo, and it happens. And you can set this. It doesn't have to be first curtain, second curtain. It doesn't matter which curtain. I'll be honest with you. It doesn't for these kinds of photos. But say you set it for the first curtain, you snap it, boom, the flash goes. You have your subject done. They are exposed. Now we let the shutter. Stay open longer and just fill up the background. That's it. Do you see any problems with this, though?
Not in my experience, but I'm sure you're going to tell us.
If you go too far, like maybe 1/8 of a second or something like that.
Okay.
What'll end up happening is your subject might possibly move, and so you'll have a picture, a ghosting picture, like the shot of my daughter.
I see, yeah.
This week. Is, yeah, sure, she stopped. She is stopped action right there in the middle, but around her you can see more of her ghosting. If you push it too far, like I'm guessing 1/8 of a second is probably where it's gonna start ghosting, then you're not gonna get the result you want. Like the photo of your wife is seamless. If you had shot yours on auto, let's say you just put it on the full pumpkin setting. Which I guess you couldn't do with the off-camera flash, but you just said, hey, you know what? I'm just going to shoot this my normal 1/180th of a second. It would be legitimately a terrible photo.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just, oh, here we are, black. It's definitely lit by a flash. Now you can't tell that it's lit by a flash.
No, that is the nice part of this. And I think the sweet spot of when you're setting up your ambient for this is probably around 1/30th of a second.
Yep. Yeah,
if in you terms have to of push not it, having to worry about, you know, the movement in your subject or not getting a sharp image, because you're exactly right. I took maybe four photos of my wife with just slightly different positioning, and every one of them is completely sharp at 1/30th of a second on a 50mm lens. And I was not specifically making any effort to be super steady when I was taking these. I was just thinking, like you explained, that the flash is going to freeze the subject. So I didn't really care if there's a tiny bit of motion blur in the background.
Right. And the good thing is in this situation, the flash power that's necessary to light your subject is usually very, very minimal,
mm-hmm.
which means a very, very, very quick pulse, which means very, very stopped action.
Right.
I had to add a couple extra very, verys in there because I was back in grade 6 writing my paper.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. The fur trade was very, 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 very long time ago. That's the kind of stuff I would write.
Yeah.
So the cool thing, now here's the cool thing about, for example, let's say you're shooting at a party and you're going to do this. Sounds like you're having a lot of fun at the party, but if you are like taking photos and doing this, you can just, you can just set this. You can dial this in manually. Like I said, say ISO 640, call it maybe ISO 400, 800 if you want to do it that way. Dial this in, F4, shutters, leave the shutter speed at 1/15th or 1/30th and let the flash do the calculating. Let the ETTL do it. You can just leave that, walk around the party, change nothing, and you're going to get good results every time. And nice background stuff, slightly out of focus because F4 is going to give you a little bit of bokeh, of course, but enough that you have context and life is good. Now, this is wildly handy. Like, forget the party stuff. I mean, do that, of course, but like Adam said, shooting Christmas lights can be really, really tricky because, you know, you can just sit and fumble around. We see people sitting and fumbling around. Well, I haven't been in a while, but the last time I was at Van Dusen Gardens, I was there with you.
Mm-hmm.
And there were a number of photographers walking around just photographing their kids against a black background because they didn't drag the shutter. Everything was just boom, handled automatically. The camera said, oh, well, let's keep it sharp. And that means, you know, maybe a couple little pinpoint lights in the background, but not this amazing light. Like the, you look at Adam's photos, that's you dragging the shutter in those shots of your kids at Van Dusen Gardens.
Right.
Wildly handy. Great technique. Make sure you employ it. All right. Any questions, Adam?
Nope.
Didn't think so. Again, short episodes this week and next week. It's called Christmas. Google it.
Sure.
Photo challenge for next week. You had one.
Morning. It's cold. Let's photograph it. What happens in the morning? It's also wide open, so I'm trying to throw myself a little bit of an assist here in that very, very little time, and I can take anything and just say that I did it in the morning.
Awesome. I'll do that.
All right.
Monthly photo challenge reminder is Christmas card / holiday card / whatever cards you want to do. Basically, spread good joy to all your friends. That's what that is. Hashtag that Two Hosers Monthly Challenge or hashtag two. Easy for me to say. Hashtag Hey Hosers on Instagram. And we'll check that out. And Adam will make you wish you never bought a camera.
No, hopefully I didn't offend anybody this week.
Well, no, I don't think people were offended. I actually got some feedback. In all fairness, I did get some feedback. I think it was on our website, actually, where people said, yeah, my picture wasn't that good. So we weren't wrong. I mean, just because we're jerks doesn't make us wrong.
Right.
Right? I don't want to reopen old wounds, you know, but here we are.
Yeah.
Could have ripped the Band-Aid off slower, is okay. All I'm saying.
All right.
All right. Websites. Adam, where can people go to find your stuff?
AdamSchwartz.ca. I'm in definite need of an update. I haven't posted anything on there in quite some time, so maybe this
You've done four updates since my last one.
Really?
Oh, my. I don't have... Mine, that's terrible.
Okay. All right. I'm going to try. This holiday season. Yeah.
How about this? You go to my website, I take pictures, hire me. The end.
Okay.
Okay. And you can find that at alanatridge.com, where you can find, it's my MySpace page from 1995.
Okay.
It's good. It's good on there. You have some really loud music, Metallica. You'll like it. All right. And that's it. Until next week, get out there and make better photos.